love us both. What you don't want, you dispose of and use now is big. But I'm keeping all those tokens, only good your true devotion. It's a fine line, I know, between friends, love us both.
Closing out that set from her soon-to-be-released Among the Insanity, with Chicago's Skylar Rogers with Step It Up. Before that, from her new release, Defined by Love, we had Kingston, Ontario's Miss Emily with Friends, Lovers, Foes. And I got that set started off with France's Lionel Blues Gang and Boogie Woogie Broke Down Love from their new release, This Is Us. You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU Burnaby. This is the Rockin' Blues Show, and I'm your host, Brent Morrison. This is my 11th annual all-women show in honor of International Women's Day. In 1996, the UN adopted an annual theme for International Women's Day. The first was celebrating the past, planning for the future. This year's theme is Embrace Equity. Starting off this set, the second part of my three-part interview with Canadian blues artist Layla Zoe.
Somebody sent me an album, and I think it was on their one sheet. It said at the bottom, buy, don't Spotify. And I'm like, oh man, that should be the slogan for everybody now.
Absolutely. It took me a long time, you know, with Spotify. For anybody that used to follow me on social media, I'm not on there anymore. And I actually went back recently for a month and realized I just don't want it anymore. I actually canceled all my social media accounts in 2020, and I never went back until just recently. But the thing is, I was always very vocal about how I was against Spotify. And of course, the record labels I worked with put the songs on there. But when it came to my independent releases, I never did it. But eventually, when it came to the Gemini album, which is a double record I made in 2018 and released, which is an album I'm also proud of, I just realized, you know, it's not going to reach as many young people. So even if I'm not really going to make what I deserve in money from Spotify, it's got to be seen as more of a promotional thing at this point, because, you know, the album had been out already for a year, and then I decided I'll put it up on Spotify so that it reaches younger people, because the reality is that a lot of younger people, that's what they're using.
David Gogo released a single. He was hoping to get to 10,000 plays on Spotify, and he did. And so when I was interviewing him, I said, so you got your 10,000 plays. What were you able to do with the money? Buy a decent bottle of wine?
More like a coffee. You know, I mean, the reality is with Spotify, they're taking such a large percentage. But, you know, it's kind of nice when you see that there's been some bigger name artists that have also gone up against them and tried to change things. And then there's like some artists that came together and put together Tidal, which I know some of my music is also on there. But in the end, you know, we have to remember that we knew when the technology first started that the internet was not only going to change our lives as far as music sales, but also our children's lives as far as how much time they spend on there, as far as pornography and what it's doing to the world, and like so many other things that now are just kind of on there without like rules or regulations. And so the internet, I think, is something that we should take more seriously and remember that it has dangers as well as positive things that it brings to our lives.
After you open up with Dark Heart, just this great blues rocker, the next song, Honey Pie, it starts off, it's like, it's really slow, you're singing really softly, but by the end of it, it's just like all power, and I think it ends with just you singing by yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of spoken word at the end of that song, and I really always wanted to do a song like that, and I actually put out a self-published poetry book. I did that back in 2010, but I put that same book out with some of the same poetry, but then also new poetry that I'd written in the last 10 years, so I made it a hardcover book. It's called Diary of a Fire Girl, and I sell it through my website. And there's a poem on there, and that's a piece of one of the poems that I put in that book that I used for the end of that track, because it really worked perfectly. That song is actually from one of my nieces in Canada, so I'm kind of singing to her at the end of the song, but like a spoken sort of voice, you know? And I'm really happy with how that track turned out.
The thing I noticed with a few songs, at least, was, I guess because the songs are all pretty long, there's times where you're singing in two or three different styles through the whole thing. It's almost like you're doing a duet with yourself.
Yeah, I mean, and I also used to hate doing my own harmonies and things, you know, but like, I mean, I've really kind of grown to appreciate all of the aspects of my voice in a different way, thanks to the producers that I've worked with. You know, working with Henrik Freischlatter, as well as with my old guitar player, Jan Lax, who I made the Gemini record with, I learned a lot about other ways of using my voice, obviously, besides the big voice, and to appreciate it more. And I mean, also, like, say on the live show, it gives me a break, too, sometimes. Right. Like, and nobody, I think, really wants to listen to that big, powerful voice all the time. The only way to really bring someone to, like, a musical orgasm, in my experience, is to really slowly draw them into something that becomes more powerful later, you know?
Just like
I mean,
real
there's
life.
Nothing wrong. Right. And there's... And there's nothing wrong with like coming out like balls out in the first line of a song, but it certainly helps when you give the listener a chance to really focus in, especially with certain lyrics. It's nice when you get soft. And I feel like, yeah, there's an interpretation of the lyrics and the story that the song is telling too when you use your voice in this way.
I was looking for some reviews of the album, and the one on Blues Blast magazine, it just kind of went through every single song. So that was a little too much to talk about. But I did like the one on the Toronto Blues Society. Sandra B. Tews did it, and she loves the album. And it ends with, "The world could change demonstrates Zoe's multifaceted talent as a vocal dynamo, unrestrained in her ability to convey whatever a song requires. This is an artist and an album well worth checking out."
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, there's been some great reviews in Europe and in America and Canada. And it's nice to see the Maple Blues Society, you know, acknowledging my work too, even though I've been living out in Europe for a long time. I did live in Toronto for years and in Montreal. You know, it's nice when you get those reviews. I think there's only been a few criticisms, you know, saying that because Henrik played all the instruments, and sometimes people don't understand why he would do that. I had that question a few nights ago from a DJ that I had another interview with. And the thing is, obviously, like, it makes sense for a lot of reasons when Henrik knows exactly what he wants the music to sound like, and when he can play the instruments and he can do a good job. When you bring people into the studio, not only are you paying them for their time, and sometimes that's not cheap, but also is sometimes if they're just not a really competent studio musician, or they don't really know exactly what you want, then it takes a lot of time to really explain that. And he works with the same guy in the studio for years, the engineer Martin Mindschaefer, and he's just wonderful too. When I went in with them again, and it was just the three of us in the studio, we had so much fun. And Henrik, he's just incredibly talented. So I think that he made the right choice again with this record to play the instruments himself. But besides that, I haven't heard any criticism about the album, which is great that people understand it, you know.
At first, I didn't even realize he was the only guy playing. Starts off, I'm like, wow, this drummer's fantastic, you know. And then I realized, wait, he's playing all the instruments except the organ.
Yes, and he actually started playing drums first. So drums was his first instrument before he got into guitar later. So there's pictures of him as a kid with a drum kit.
Nice.
And actually, it's funny because one of the tours, I needed a bass player, and he ended up playing bass for me on the tour. Then there was one concert where he even played drums for us, which he'd never done for anyone. And he got on stage and played drums for us. And when he got off stage, he just said to the drummer from his band, "Oh, I really admire what you do now that I have to go up there and do it." You know, because in the studio, it's obviously a lot different to play drums than it is live on stage. You know, mm-hmm. You can take breaks, and it's just not his main instrument anymore. But, you know, I mean, what an incredible person that writes such fantastic music. So it was an honor to work with him again.
Yeah, and you guys recorded this over in, what is it, Arnsberg, Germany?
Yeah, exactly. That's where the studio is. And we had a lot of fun. Like I said, the studio is beautiful. You know, he's got those Telefunken mics like Zappa talks about that just make the voice sound incredible. And I brought the dogs in the studio with me because they're just little guys. And it was wonderful to be back in the studio again. It was a good feeling.
I just did this on my show yesterday. I know you were really close. Just the other day, 15 years since Jeff Healey passed away. Can you believe it's been that long?
Yes. No, it's crazy. I mean, I do think of him often when we get around that time of the year. And I just remember how impacted I was when I heard that he passed away, because I had the chance to sing with him twice. And it was wonderful that, you know, I always talk about it when people ask that it was one of the greatest experiences. You know, it still is. I've worked with a lot of wonderful guitar players over the years, but there was really a kind of electricity in the room that you could feel when Jeff played. And also, he was just such a kind person. He was so friendly. He was always making you laugh. And I didn't even realize until later at some point, I think the second time I was playing with him at his club, that, you know, he was actually in cancer treatment at that time. And he came in at some point and said he had just come from treatment, you know, and he wanted some chicken strips from the waitress and he wanted some chocolate after that or something, you know. And he was just so lighthearted about all of it. And he made everybody laugh, you know, he made it a light thing. And so it was almost like you thought that he was probably going to survive again because of his way of putting everyone at ease, that everything was going to be fine, and just still going out to his club and still playing and all the things that he did, even while he was in treatment. So then when he was gone, I actually wasn't expecting it. And so I think that's why it was more painful, because, you know, I didn't know that he would go. So
yeah, I was listening to some of his live album the other day, trying to figure out which songs to play, and guy's hilarious.
He's great, but also like Cover to Cover is a really great record. Mm-hmm. Like I'm actually gonna, my next project that I plan to do is to release a cover album, and I've been thinking about doing it for years. Obviously there's positives and negatives to doing it. you know, I love to write songs and I am a songwriter, but I wanted to do something where I kind of pay ode to the people that I was inspired by growing up that helped me to get where I am today in some ways. And when I think of cover albums that I actually really love, there's one that Serena Ryder did and there's the one that Jeff Healey did. And those are two fantastic cover albums, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm looking forward to that project because I have some very talented musician friends, you know, from over the years that I'll probably bring in to guest on it. And I'm looking forward to kind of working with changing the versions of songs that I grew up listening to and love. So I'm excited about that, actually.
Keep on.
Closing out that set from her new double album, The World Could Change, we had Canada's Leila Zoe with Jasmine. And I got that set started off with the second part of my three-part interview with Leila Zoe. I'll have the last part later in the show. This is the Rockin' Blues Show, and I'm your host, Brent Morrison. This is my 11th annual all-women's show in honor of International Women's Day, taking us across the top of our first hour from 1993's Force of Nature. This is the Queen of the Blues, the late great Coco Taylor, with 63-year-old Mama.
Road, but the old man sell my Jaguar.